Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Welcome to the Hollywood Casino Press Box with your host, Frank Cusimano.
Here's the pitch. Line drive, there it is! Into left field! Hit number 3,000! A run is scored! Mucci the run first! On his way to second with a double!
The best interviews and the most informed insight.
McGaffey breaking free, has a seam, and a crease. The kicker can't trip him up. Headed for the end zone. Will it be back-to-back weeks? Yes!
All tied together with the experience of over 20 years of local broadcasting excellence in St. Louis.
Now Stasny gets away from a check to Fabry. Wide open!
Now, here is Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Good morning and welcome. Hollywood Casino Press Box on the all-new 590 The Fan. Frank Cusimano with you till 12 o'clock. Got a good one lined up for you today. Man, do we have a great guest list. A legendary St. Louis Blue, Red Berenson, which gives us an excuse to air Dan Kelly's magical night for Red Berenson and the six goals. Joe Fresta is going to be with us, too. There's a big hockey night coming up in St. Louis for a great charity. 11 o'clock, Chris Kerber, live from Anaheim. Martin Kilcoyne in studio with Chris. Dr. Rick will join us at 11:20. And the Hall of Famer from St. Louis University, Bob Ramsey, will join us. It is senior night at St. Louis University. Our opening monologue is brought to you by Gateway Motorsports Park. And let's begin with lap one. I have seen one of the most exciting players in St. Louis basketball history. Not saying the best, but one of the best shows I've ever seen. His name is Yuri Collins. He almost had a triple-double last night against the Hillsboro Hawks. He had 37 points. He was Euro-stepping, no-looking, throwing passes over his head. He almost had a triple-double. He looked like a mixture of Steve Nash and Pearl Washington. And I kept hearing he couldn't shoot. Well, he drained three consecutive threes last night. Travis Ford, his coach next year. Corey Tate, his coach next year. They were up in the stands and absolutely loving it. They have their player. Give him the ball. And I tell you what, folks, 4 years later, you can take it back from him. But Yuri Collins is the point guard of the future for St. Louis University. So after the game, I met his father, and I keep hearing all these great things about what a nice kid he is. And then his father introduces me to the two younger brothers, Zamir 13 and Zaire 12. And he said, they're going to be better than Yuri. So if I'm St. Mary's, I make sure those kids follow in the big brother's footsteps. Be great to see Yuri Collins and St. Mary's win a state championship. They are a great show. All right, lap two. Blues and Ducks tonight. I have complete confidence that Jordan Binnington is going to be just fine. I have no confidence in the forward scoring goals past the first line. Think about this. Basically zero production from number 17, number 20, number 9, number 18, number 70, number 49, number 7, number 15, and number 12. The good news is, though, the first line is back. Tarasenko, O'Reilly, and Shen. Your three best players have to do it. And they're so happy to have Braden Shen back.
Well, he's an elite offensive player. I mean, we haven't been scoring a whole lot as of late. Anytime you add a guy like that in the lineup, it's obviously going to help. But he plays the game hard, too. I don't think we've played as hard as we need to play as of late. And that's not anybody... That's on all of us, really. We just got to find a way to play hard, and he's going to bring some energy back in there on Wednesday.
I think we had a good rhythm going there for a bit, but, you know, we have good depth on our team, and we have to find a way to win games, and we've deviated from our normal game plan. But, you know, when we get a guy back like that, that impacts the game the way he does. It definitely helps us. You know, we're a better team for it, and you know, we have to go out and prove it and, you know, get back to doing things the right way.
That was the captain, Alex Petrangelo, and the MVP, Ryan O'Reilly. Going to be a fun one tonight. Lap three. The Missouri Valley Conference Tournament. It's compelling coaches. It's Porter Moser and Barry Hinson leading the list. Porter was with us yesterday, and even though the 19 victories aren't quite as glitzy as last year, he is a back-to-back conference regular season champion. And every week this season, even in the preseason against Indiana, Loyola was taking everybody's best shot.
It's been just an absolute unbelievable grind, and it's something you really can't, it's hard to prepare for. You know, I think every year conference races are grinds, but following the year we had and the expectations and the target on our back, and it was just like everywhere we went was pretty much a sellout, and to have to win on the road and to get people shot. And, you know, I'm just so proud of our guys. And I really kept on saying, you know what, we're going to be better later in the year for having to face these kind of situations. And I kept on selling it to our guys. You guys, we're going to be better. Let's not look at it saying, God dang it, we're getting sold out, everybody's best shot. Like, hey, that's just going to make us better and stronger. And we really have had some really back against the wall wins, like the one at Northern Iowa last week. It was a blackout, sellout, senior night, and they were playing well and won like 5 out of 6, and just a grind out 1-point road win, and just loved it for our guys. And I think we're getting better, and you know, I really do, Frank. I think we're getting better, as we should, in February and March.
He went on to say that when they played Indiana in the preseason, one of those scrimmages where it's not open to the public, that, you know, the Hoosiers looked at that game as like a huge game. The Hoosiers against the Ramblers. How about that? Lap four. The Cardinals yesterday in Clearwater. A 22-year-old threw 103, and he struck out 4 in one inning. A 22-year-old had 9 Ks in 4 innings. And a 24-year-old starter who really hasn't pitched in 2 years, touched 98, felt pretty good. How many teams in one game will throw 3 guys that young and that gifted? I wonder how many teams could do that. And there's other teams that can. Boy, that was some talent on the mound yesterday. No wonder it was a 2-1 game. Flaherty is just an absolute stud. We talked earlier with Jack about how he lives for the competition.
Yeah, I mean, I love to compete. And it doesn't matter. I don't like losing. There's really no situation where, for me, I'm like, I like to lose. There's some things I'll play it off, like, yeah, you know, it's whatever. But most of the time, like, inside, it's there where I don't like to lose any kind of little situation, any competitions that we have going on ever. And then especially when we get into a game, it's just a whole nother level.
And he says that he's around Carpenter a lot and loves that. And then he actually has a relationship with Bob Gibson. I think those are two pretty good tutors. Boy, is he unbelievable. That yesterday, I don't know if you saw it on the MLB Network. Did you watch it, Plowsy?
Oh, yeah. It was a clinic.
Brian, did you happen to catch any of it or the highlights?
Oh, gosh, yeah. I was watching it here when it was going on. He looked good.
Wow. So, how about this? Over under 3.0 ERA.
I mean, I'm not going to go a touch over, maybe a 3.15, something like that. Right. Something very respectable, you know.
Over under 200 innings.
I'll go over.
Hey, how about a good over? Number. I'll go over, too. Yeah. He'll be a world horse eventually.
I know wins don't matter as much now, but over under 15 wins.
I push. I got, like, right at 15.
You got 15?
I could see it being under, but, I mean, 15 wins is a lot of wins.
And who ends up with the most wins, Michaelis or Flaherty?
I got Michaelis with, like, 17 and Flaherty with 15. I think I'd be very happy with that.
I think Michaelis probably gets more. Yeah. More wins probably for Michaelis.
All right. Lap five. Gateway Motorsports Park opening monologue. Go to Gateway MSP for information. You can get season tickets for NHRA, for the Bomarito 500, and, of course, for those outstanding NASCAR trucks. So we have the Billikens. Tonight it's senior night, and it's kind of a strange senior night for SLU because it'll be senior night with four transfers and one injured player. You know, normally you think of senior night, you think, oh boy, guys have been there for 4 or 5 years. No, a couple guys have been there for 1 year, for like 8 months. Some guys have been there for 2 years, 3 years. But Travis was not like Rick Majerus. And as much as I respected Coach Majerus and really liked him personally, he did something really bad when he got here. He said that, I think here's the exact quote, "I didn't recruit them, they didn't recruit me." Mm. Now, Travis, on the other hand, said they were his players as soon as he took the job. I think the way Travis handled it was much better. I love the relationship, too, between Travis and Javon Bess. Bess came to SLU coming off two surgeries and erratic playing time for Tom Izzo at Michigan State. I can remember being at a SLU baseball game, real cold day, and Travis, it was the weekend that Bess was there, and he says, yeah, we got a guy here from Michigan State. He kind of had an up and down a couple of years here, but he was really highly regarded coming out of high school and just seems like a great kid. And he's on campus today. I think we're going to get him. Well, they got him, and Javon Bess leaves with 1,000 career points, probably the Defensive Player of the Year award in the Atlantic 10, first team all-conference, I think. And keep in mind, and Travis went out of his way to say this yesterday, he's been injured from midseason on. He's got a bad foot issue, and he fights to play. And Travis tries to keep him out of drills and practice, and he keeps putting himself in. Often he gets up 300 shots before you have your first Pop-Tart in the morning. He's at Chavis Arena at 6 o'clock often. He made himself a good offensive player. He's going to make a living playing basketball for a long time, I think. And Travis gushed about him yesterday.
Javon Bess ranks at the very, very top of that list of the 22 years I've been a college head coach. He would rank at the very top of guys that represent doing what you're supposed to do every single day to maximize your abilities, to take advantage of a college education, to improving yourself outside of practice. I can go down the line. He's been an incredible example for all of us as coaches, as players, of what it means to fully take advantage of your opportunities and make the most of it without any distractions, without me ever having to bring him into the office for missing a class or doing this or that. And, just not been many distractions for Javon Bess. And nowadays, as I tell a lot, you know, many players, just, you know, so many distractions are keeping guys from being their best. And they're wasting time trying to figure out how they can get out of something rather than using that valuable time into making yourself better. But Javon Bess ranks at the very top.
And hats off to Stu Durando, because today in the paper, he illustrated what this guy has done defensively all season long. This Javon Miles from Seton Hall, Javon Miles Powell, he came in averaging 22. Bess made him shoot 4 for 13. Kamar Baldwin Butler, Bess made him shoot 3 for 17. He was averaging 17. Tress Tinkle from Oregon State came in averaging 20. Bess held him to 15. Jeff Dotwin, Rhode Island, came in averaging 15. He went 2 for 10 against Javon. Charlie Brown, St. Joe's, came in averaging 19. He went 1 for 11 against Bess. Pookie Powell, LaSalle, came in averaging 16. He went 1 for 6 against Bess. And what Bess does, he denies you the ball. And then he's a good on-ball defender once you catch it. So congratulations, hats off to him. Let's hope the Billikens can finish senior night in style. Now, here's a question for both of you gentlemen in the studio. SLU does it a little differently on senior night. They don't do it where you come out before the game, give the roses to the mom, and have the ceremony before the game. They do it after the game. Now, what's your take? If you were in charge, would you do it before or after?
Before.
Yeah, probably before. Especially just because Like, what if it's a tough loss? I hope it's not. I hope Sue wins. But what if it's a tough loss? I think the player's not going to enjoy it as much.
And here's the problem. People are, even though they're excited about going to the game, even if it's a good game, their first thought when it hits zero is to get the hell out.
Yes.
And so I think getting the most fans cheering on your seniors would happen prior to the game rather than after the game. That's okay. Just me, though.
All right, let me play devil's advocate. If you're the coach, the only thing that really matters to you is to get the victory. And some of these senior nights can be distracting and emotional before the game, if you have it before the game. If you have it after the game, there's no distractions. It's a regular game. You are locked in, ready to beat Duquesne. Now, the gamble is, if you lose,
yes,
no one wants to come out with their mom after they just got beat by Duquesne by 14.
And not bashing Coach Ford or any coach, but if you use the extra 20 minutes to walk your mom with roses down the court as an excuse for not being prepared, then I don't think you would have been prepared for that game regardless. You should have the preparation already set. Maybe they'd be tight. Maybe they didn't get enough shots or anything like that, and I could see that. But they should be prepared for the game. The emotions should be set aside.
Yeah, in a perfect world, they would. But yes. I got to tell you, like, in Kentucky, now it's not like that in Kentucky because they're all one and done. So there's no – but in the old days, it was the single most emotional day of the year in the state of Kentucky. I remember Dick Enberg did the broadcast once, and Happy Chandler comes out, sings My Old Kentucky Home. Every relative is out there, and you're holding hands, and you're singing it together before the game. There's tears, the last time you'll ever put on the uniform in Rupp Arena. And then Dick Enberg, they broadcast on NBC, and Dick Enberg said, and we'll be right back after this. I mean, he was breaking up. Now, it's probably not going to be like that in most schools. It wouldn't be like that at SLU.
But... yeah, the senior night in Kentucky is the guys that haven't played ever.
nowadays, yes. But back in the old days when it was Kenny Walker and Winston Bennett and Kyle Macy and Rick Roby, I mean, that was a powerful day. All right, lap six, stream of consciousness. Here's what I can't understand. As great as the NBA is, and I'm a big fan, and I confess, I'll watch games at 11 o'clock at night, now Monique will be dead asleep. I love watching it. The unhappiness of players in that league is just insane. I mean, Kyrie Irving, they actually won a big game last night, but I'm thinking of the two teams last night and the two, like, major stars. Kyrie Irving seems like the most miserable human being in the world, and yet he's making tens of millions of dollars and playing for the Boston Celtics, and he's in movies, and he just seems like I hate life. And then, you know, Kevin Durant, what I can't understand is why he would even think about leaving Golden State. If you have two shooters on that squad, now granted, Klay Thompson may not be back next year, and you're playing for the most likable and maybe the best coach in the league, and you're in this cosmopolitan great city, why would there be any unrest at all? Why not get three world championships, four world championships, Kevin? I don't understand. But I'm just watching the game last night thinking, gosh, how could these two be unhappy so often, or appear to be so happy? Food picks. Yesterday, we went to O'Connell's. Here's what jumped out at me. Is, Brian, they put the patty on a little scale, and they do their grind, and they use the grind from Kuna Meats.
Yeah, like a Dick Enberg moment. They were talking about the burger.
Yeah, started to break up. but... they put it on this little scale, and Brian, it has to say 9 ounces exactly. Wow. I watched this guy. If it was 9.1, he took a little off. It was 8.7, he put a little bit more on. And I said, now, how often do you do that? He says, I do that 300 times a day. Oof. 300 times a day. I mean, there's a reason they're really good.
They're not going to notice the missing 0.03. Just put on the grill.
Boy, I tell you, that it was juicy and tasty. Oh, my goodness. I loved it. It was great. Tom Stasiak enjoyed his, too.
He tried to always, has he not missed any of them?
When he does, he's ticked off. So, all right. That'll do it for this segment. When we come back, we're going to be joined by the great Red Berenson. We'll be right back.